Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Waiting here for you.
Hi, this is Nashville record producer Kim Copeland. Welcome to In the Country, an Artist Insights exclusive production, bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country music stars. Now here's the host of In the Country, Dave Woods.
It's a Tuesday edition of In the Country. I'm Dave Woods. Glad you could find the time to tune in. We have an entertaining 30 minutes in store for you, so stay tuned. From Nashville, Tennessee, it's my pleasure to welcome Rick Ryman to the show. That's Tennessee singer-songwriter Rick Ryman. Hey, Rick, how's it going?
It's going great, Dave. How you doing?
Awesome. Great to have you on the show. Looking forward to sharing a couple of the songs from your CD called Leg Man. Yeah. Now, I understand a lot of this started for you, playing the guitar anyway, after you joined the United States Air Force after high school.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I actually finally broke down and bought one and decided to try to learn. Basically, I taught myself and still trying to learn it.
It's an ongoing process.
Yeah, well, you know, it really is, especially for me anyways. But, yeah, it was something, even when I was a small child, you know, it was something that I was interested in doing. But, I don't know, I guess I just needed that little push from watching my uncles play and my cousin, you know, who I was pretty close with, because we, you know, he grew up right down the street from me, and so a lot of influence came from him. And when he picked up the guitar and taught himself how to play, I said, well, I'm going to do the same thing. And so I was in the Air Force, you know, had the opportunity, had a lot of time on my hands, and
right.
So
had you attempted singing before learning the guitar, or did that come at the same time?
Oh, yeah, I just basically just sang the records because, you know, I didn't know how to, you know, to play an instrument or anything.
Right.
So, I mean, it was nothing, you know, it's always been a dream of mine to perform and stuff like that. I mean, you know, since I was real young, it was something, it was an aspiration, and just never knew how to get into the field at all, because there was nobody in my family was really associated with the music business or anything. And, you know, except for my Uncle Dave, he was the only one that played a little bit. And, and you know, he when he was younger, he used to go out to bars and just sit there and play for the folks in the bar and get free drinks.
That probably seemed like the big leagues at the time to you, I guess.
It might have been.
That sounds like fun.
So that's about how, that was the extent of his career, and,
yep.
And it just kind of rolled down. That, you know, it's just something that I don't know. It's always been there, something I've always wanted to do, and still trying to pursue it.
So, how long was it before you wrote your first song?
Oh gosh, you know, that's hard to say. I guess when I finally was able to put chords together. Mm-hmm. And everything, it was probably about a year after I first bought the guitar, at least a year. Because, I mean, there was a time there, I come home on leave, and I almost left my guitar at the house. And my dad said, why ain't you going to take that with you? I go, no, I can't play it anyway. He goes, well, you ain't going to learn how to play it with it sitting at the house. And if it wasn't for him, that little motivation, I probably would have never learned.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you had that encouragement, obviously. So your family has encouraged, even though they are not necessarily involved in the music business, they've encouraged you.
Yeah, they shown their support, which is very flattering, and which, you know, you do need that support from your family, because, I mean, it's rough to try to get in the business. I mean, it's something that it just doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, for sure. A lot of times you hear these overnight successes, but, of course, they've been years in the making.
Yeah, I think it was it was Leanne Womack who said that she was a 10-year overnight success.
Right. That is so true. And so what has kept you going to this point? Of course, you got a CD out and you've had success with it, but along the way when, you know, there's those moments when you kind of have doubt, what sort of keeps you in the game?
I'd have to say my faith in God, because it was just like, I don't know how many times where I just threw my hands up in the air and said, I quit, I give up, you know, this just isn't working out. And then it was like a day or two later, something would just happen and just re-spark that interest and just keep me going. So, and that's the only thing I can associate it with.
Yeah. That's great. Now musical influences, Rick, who are some of the ones growing up, some of the artists that you looked up to and maybe possibly thought about being like as an artist?
Well, you know, that's interesting you say musical influences, because I listen to a lot of, when I used to work in radio, I used to listen to a lot of interviews that people would do with stars, and they would ask that question about influences, and
yeah.
And there's a difference between the influence and a fan. I mean, I'm a fan,
right,
of Aerosmith, but they don't influence my music,
right?
You know,
good point.
But,
definitely a difference there.
But as far as my influences go, I mean, it's definitely Merle Haggard was a huge influence. Willie,
right,
Nelson, David Allan Coe, those are my three favorite singer songwriters. And that really created my style of writing, and somewhere along the way there would be Sonny James would be in there too. I mean, I was listening to a Sonny James CD one time, and I remember somebody saying, you know, what once was old can be new again, and I kind of took some, you know, a Sonny James lick and just kind of created into my own style.
Now that's cool to take,
yeah,
a lick and then, like you say, to make it new again and bring it into your own song.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can listen to the chord progression. Gosh, I can't talk tonight. Progression on. I used to do this on radio too.
There you go.
That's why I was never in it very long. But you can listen to that chord progression in, oh gosh, now I can't think of the title of the song. Oh, it was a huge hit that he had.
Not Young Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be it? That's the one song that's coming to mind of his.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it is. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, and you can hear that, the progression in. But I just slowed it down,
right?
And it's in a couple of the ballads that I use.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's We Said It All. But, of course, you know, it's just in parts of the song. You know, it's just, you know, I just used that chord progression,
sure,
just slowed it down, and then, you know, just kind of, you know, build from that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of chord progressions used over and over, of course, in music, and that's allowed, as they say. So,
yeah,
you can kind of borrow and give it a flavor of something else.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is very cool. Now, I want to talk more about your experience in radio in a little bit, but I want to get to one of your songs so we can let our listeners hear exactly your musical style. And we're going to start with the song Leg Man, which is the title track to your CD that is out. So do you want to tell us a bit about this song before we share it?
Sure. I mean, it's a truck driver song. I mean,
right,
it's no doubt about it. And people ask me, where did you get that? Well, it's something I do. I drove a truck for so long, you know, it's like, you know, you get bored out there in the road. You just kind of happen to look out the window, and you could be surprised what you can see when people are passing you. So,
too funny. Wow. I guess the best songs do come from real life.
Well, I think so.
I think so.
You got, that's what I like writing about. I mean, because it makes you relatable to other people out there. Because I've heard so many people, especially truck drivers, come up to me and say, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know that song." And I had, you know, it was really surprised me that a lot of women like that song. They think it's really cute.
Oh wow!
I was really surprised by that. I thought maybe I'd A friend of mine, he told me, he says, because you know, if you go and pitch that song to the people on Music Row, you're going to offend every woman on Music Row. And I just smiled and I said, I didn't write it for them.
Good answer. Very cool. It's a great, catchy song, and we'll share it now with our listeners, Rick. This is Rick Ryman and Leg Man here on In the Country.
While rolling in Nashville, wouldn't you know just my luck? Traffic was stopped up ahead from a big pile of. But here I am stuck in the wrong lane. I look down, here's his name, wearing a short sexy skirt and long tan leg. I'm a leg man, what'll I to do? But looking out the window of my cab, checking out the view. I'm a leg man, I like the short hemline. It's a harmless gesture that helps a trucker pass the time. I'm a leg man. She's a cute little waitress down at the local truck stop. She handed me a menu, I asked her, what do you got? She said the chicken is southern fried. What would you like if you had three sides? A breast, a wing, maybe a leg and thigh. I'm a leg man, what I like to do is looking out the window of my cab, checking out the view. I'm a leg man, I like your short hemline. It's a harmless gesture that helps a trucker pass the time. I'm a leg man. Breaker, breaker, one nine. Check out the seat cover coming up and you are behind. I glance in the mirror, she's passing slow. I look down, what do you know? It's the same cute little waitress giving me a show. I'm a leg man, what I like to do? Looking out the window of my cab, checking out the view. I'm a leg man. Like a short hemline. It's a harmless gesture that helps a trucker pass the time. I'm a leg man. What I like to do? Looking out the window of my cab, checking out the view. I'm a leg man. I like a short hemline. It's a harmless gesture that helps a trucker pass the time. I'm a leg man.
Tennessee singer-songwriter Rick Ryman and the title track to his current CD. That is called Leg Man. Great fun song, Rick.
Yeah, I think it is. That's what I call it, too, a fun song.
Yeah, it's a fun song. Just kind of makes you smile and bounce along to it. Now, let's talk about the success you've had. I've been reading up on all the success in Europe you've had with songs from this CD. Do you want to talk about that?
We've released a couple of them over there, and a couple of them went the number one in various countries over there. I know one off the top of my head, Germany took them number one twice, both of them, and the cuts were Working to Live and Hold On to Faith. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting to do send some more over there, but I just haven't sat down, had the time to do anything like that right now. But I was really flattered. I mean, the first one that we sent over there was Working to Live, and that thing just took off, and it probably would have gone number one all over Europe, but it was getting into December, and you know, it reached the number eight on European country charts, and and it just stopped because it started getting into December where everybody was starting playing Christmas music.
Oh, exactly.
And so it could have gone higher, and and I would have been more flattered if it did. But I mean, it stayed on the charts for 16 weeks, and I thought that was just much more than I ever expected for a debut single.
That is really cool. And so the CD Legman, and we'll be playing the other single from it, Working to Live, shortly. Where is that available if our listeners want to purchase it?
The best way to go is if you can't see me personally, then go to cdbaby.com.
Oh, that's a great site to pick up CDs, and you get them in the mail. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah. I found a lot of good artists just by going to CD Baby and listening.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. Good selection of artists. Now something I found really interesting, Rick, on your MySpace site was the blog you had about songwriting and sort of a message you got at church from the pastor who was talking about songwriting, alluding to it and saying, don't just sing the song, read the words, know the message that's in it. To be a good songwriter, you have to write about passion. And then you went on in this blog to talk about, you know, some music missing sort of this passion. Now, talk to us about that and the passion in your songwriting.
Oh, wow. Well, I just think that's something that's what's missing in today's country music. I mean, you just don't hear too much about passion or any real feeling in it. I mean, I even hear other country artists say, well, in fact, it was Dirks Bentley who said that he was tired of getting demos about a Bond bouncing around in a pickup truck, you know, with his, you know, being his date, you know. It's like, well, I'm tired of hearing songs like that too. And it's okay once in a while, but when everybody's just, you know, when it's, there's just no meaning behind the songs anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and I heard something that I felt disappointing, and this was a few years ago. I was at this club, and I was sitting at the bar, and I just like to listen. I like to listen to people. I mean, you get ideas by just listening to people in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the bartender talking to happened to be the club owner that night. And she said something about, you know, she goes, I don't listen to the words, I listen to the beat. If it's got a good beat, I like the song. And
right.
I about came out of my seat and I was like, this is country music. this is what country music's all about, is the song, it's the
yep.
words.
That's right.
That's the way it used to be, but it's not that way anymore. I mean, not with the creation of line dancing and everything. So...
yeah, you exactly. I mean, country music is about the lyrics. It's about the feeling and emotion. Going back to Hank Williams forward, that's what it's about. And you're right. When it loses that, then it's not really the true country music that we've come to know and love.
I even hear people on Music Row. I mean, I can get inside some of these people's minds, you know, get out of the commercialism and everything and really start talking, especially the veterans who've been down there for years. And they say that there's just no, what's the word they use? I can't think of the word they use, but there's really nothing about the songs that they're recording today that somebody's going to record in 10 years.
Okay. That's sustainability, yeah. Durability, type of thing, the timelessness that a lot of them have.
Yeah, something like, somebody would bring back, you know, like a Hello Darling or, you know, something Conway did, you know, something
right.
that, just there's classics, and you just don't hear that, and there's just too much fluff. And I don't know if it's because of radio changed the sound of country music so much by, you know, saying that it's just got to, you know, this is a straight line, you know, you got to keep it like this or we're not going to play it. And I hear a lot of labels telling me the same thing, you know, we can't put out something like this because, you know, radio won't play it. And we got to rely on radio in order to promote it.
Right, exactly.
So I understand the label standpoint about it, you know, because they're there to make money too.
Yeah, it comes down to a business as well. So, and that's why a lot of people, if they want to hear the country music they grew up on, either go to the internet or go out, of course, to live clubs, people like yourself who are playing that kind of music. Is there anyone out there, artists today, that you think is carrying on the tradition of country music and doing it well?
You know, I really, be honest with you, I don't listen to very much of today's country music. You know, I do enjoy Brad Paisley. I like his playing, and I mean, he's got words to his songs. I enjoy Brad Paisley, but as far as that, I really don't listen to anybody. I mean, I listen to CDs, and I'll listen to the older stations, and I listen to independent music, because I think that's where the best artists are, because they have creativity, freedom with their creativity.
Yeah, they can present themselves as they are and want to, and like you say, they're not dictated by others there. So you're getting something really genuine and unique with those kind of artists.
I think so. I mean, because you're really getting, they are the singer-songwriters, and that's what I miss in today's music, and that's why I listen to, a lot of people call it Americana these days.
Yep. Now, Rick, do you have a favorite part of all this? Is it the writing, performing live, or being in the studio and putting the song all together? Is there one of those aspects that you like more than the other or that you enjoy the most?
You know, I really enjoy all three, and it blows my mind when I hear one of these so-called superstars saying, "Oh, I hate going into the studio."
Right.
And it's like, I just start laughing. I was like, "Why are you in this?" You know, it's like I love hearing how the song gets created and everything, especially when it's one that I wrote. And it's like, because all I give the musicians was just a guitar vocal. And we just built from that. I mean, you know, with the help of Rich Adler, his ear, and the great musician's ears, I mean, that's one of the things that I enjoyed doing this album, is that nobody came in there with an ego. If somebody had a suggestion, I was more than happy to listen to it. And if I said no, nobody got mad. And it was just a thrill to put the album together.
And it must be a great process to be there. Like you said, you start with the guitar vocal, and you're actually there as the song is coming to life and layers are being added to it. And it must blow you away to hear your song that you wrote get to that level.
Oh, it is. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I really enjoyed being in the studio. I don't think it's a hassle or anything. I enjoy being in there. I enjoy being in there for the mixing process. You know, now you're talking about that's where it can get boring. But I mean, I enjoyed being in there for that too, but
cool.
Not as much as the creativity of listening to what the musicians come up with, and it's really neat how they'll just throw something in there, and it's like then they'll stop and they'll say, "Wait a minute, roll that back, I missed that," and he goes, I got something better."
God.
and it's like, you know, they actually took the time of making sure we had a good project.
Very
really
cool.
Flattered by that. And as
Very
far
cool.
as picking one of the three, geez, I mean, I really enjoy all three. And I moved to Nashville to be a songwriter. And once I got down here and start meeting, you know, the musicians that are down here, I mean, there's so many good ones. The performing part just bit me, and that's something that I just like to get out there and be able to, play outside of Nashville a lot more than when I'm able to, and just to get my music exposed to so many people.
Sounds great. Well, we'll expose some more of your music, Rick. We've got the next song up, "Working to Live." You want to tell us a quick little story on this, and then we'll spin it for our listeners.
Well, "Working to Live," I got that idea. I was working at this dairy in northern Kentucky. I just started working there, and the guy, I was a delivery truck driver, and the guy who was showing me what to do and everything, the trainer,
right.
We got in the truck one day, and was getting ready to pull out of the plant, and he says, "Well, I'm going to tell you right now," he says, "there's a lot of hours working with the dairy here." He says, "You know, you're almost going to have to live here. You know, you'll think you'll be living here. This is your second home." And I just looked at him and says, "I'm working to live, not living to work."
Very cool. That's where it came from.
Yeah, I had that idea for like 3 years before I could actually put the song together.
Isn't that something? Carried it around that long, and then one day it flowed out?
Yep, exactly.
Very cool. Well, let's hear it now. This is Rick Ryman and Working to Live on In the Country.
Hey, I'm working to live, and I'm living to work. This butt that I'm busting, well, it sure ain't worth all the back pain I go through for such little pay. All this working to live doesn't give me any time to play. Day after day, it's the same old grind I'll always be. And I feel fine as long as I'm surrounded by a darkness of death. I've got a boss who comes straight from hell. All day long I've got to listen to me yell. As long as I am working, I've earned my right to cry. All this working to live doesn't leave me with much of a life. Now it's up before dawn to start my day. Sunset and traffic on my way. Home after working more overtime. I'll be working to live until the day I die. Day after day, it's the same old grind always be. And I feel fine as long as I'm surrounded by a darkness of death. I've got a boss who comes straight from hell. All day long I've got to listen to me yell. As long as I am working, I've earned my right to cry. All this working to live doesn't leave me with much of a life. It's the same old grind always be. An uphill climb as long as I'm surrounded by a darkness of death. I've got a boss who comes straight from hell. All day long I've got to listen to me yell. As long as I am working, I've earned my right to cry. All this working to live doesn't leave me with much of a life. All this working to live doesn't leave me with much of a life.
Nashville, Tennessee, singer-songwriter Rick Ryman and his song, Working to Live, from his CD entitled Leg Man. And there's another song a lot of us can relate to as well, which, again, says you're doing something right.
That's how I wanted to do my music, make sure it was relatable to other people.
Yeah, it's awesome, because both of those songs are a perfect example of the lyrics have something to say. They might be fun, it might be serious, but they both sort of say something, and people listening go, oh, yeah, I know what he's talking about. So that is great great songwriting. Do you do any co-writing, or is the stuff you do, is this solo writing?
I do everything solo. I do everything solo. I haven't been able to – I wouldn't mind sitting down and trying to co-write with somebody, but that just hasn't happened.
Right. Now, Rick, radio was a part of your life when you moved to Nashville before you got into music more. What was your experience like working at different radio stations across the U.S.?
You really want me to answer that question?
You told the truth so far. You're not working there anymore,
no.
Right? So it's safe.
No, I mean, some stations it was a blast, and some you was like pulling your hair out of your head. And it's like I worked at one station to where everybody backstabbed everybody, and I just never did understand that. That was one station I was really happy to leave. It didn't bother me one bit that I got fired. But it was an experience. I really enjoyed the listeners, and it was tough at times to try to tell the listener that I can't play your request because, you know, I have a song list I got to go by.
Right.
And it was strict. Some places were really strict, and some places, you know, they had it was allowed. When I worked at the Rebel in Dayton, Ohio, it was I had the joy of being able to do the Saturday night party, to where I could go off the playlist. You know, if we didn't get calls, you know, then I would use the playlist. But
yeah.
If people call, you know, it was a call in show and, you know, requests and stuff like that, and had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Sounds like you had some freedom to do some stuff creatively.
Yeah, for the most part,
and
I did get in trouble for some of my creativity. So,
what's the old expression I've heard people use? Is better to ask for forgiveness than for permission, or something like that. So you just went out on a limb a few times and didn't always do you favors, did it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm a big fan of the big classic country and stuff like that. And
sure.
I remember George Strait. He had a song on one, and I was able to do album cuts, too. And,
that's always good.
Yeah, and George Strait had this album cut on there that he did an old Mel Street song. I met a friend of yours today.
Ah, yes.
And I played that, and it got probably halfway through the song before I got a phone call from the station manager.
Oh. Didn't like the
we
choice.
We don't play like something like that on our station.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like... You know, okay. Well, you want me to turn it off in the middle of the song?
Yeah. What's wrong with that picture? A country station, and you can't play a country song. That's
it was more. It was you know, they called themselves the Rebels, so it was more of the wilder side of
right.
country music when it was just, you know, kind of coming in.
Sure.
You know, the more of the Travis Tritt up tempo stuff and.
Yeah, so that
didn't quite
fit.
Yeah, something that may have had an edge to it, you know, like the Kentucky Headhunters or something, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they were more or less attended to, those kind of songs.
Now, do you like groups like that, for example, the Kentucky Headhunters, who weren't traditional country music, but they kind of brought something unique, that their song Dumas Walker and some other hits. Do you like artists that kind of do something really different?
You know, I'm just one of those people, I like good music, period. And if it's good music, I enjoy it. But I am a traditionalist when it comes to, music, you know, if my beef has always been, if I go out to listen to a live band and they say they're a country band, I want to hear country music.
Right.
I don't want to hear country music the first set, pop music the second set, and then, you know, 50s, 60s, southern rock the third and fourth set, you know, when people start getting drunk and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
I come there to listen to country music all night long. You know, that's just me.
Yeah.
But that's not the way they wanted to do things in Cincinnati, where I'm originally from, and it was to me, it was disappointing. And when I got into trying to put a band together and stuff like that, I said, man, there's enough up-tempo country music songs to keep people rowdy and having a good time on their third and fourth set, you know, without us doing songs, you know, the 50s, 60s music and, you know, the old rock and roll. I felt there was.
No, I agree. Yeah, you don't need to draw from all those other, like you say, there's just, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, 60s, of course. I mean, you can draw from so much of that, up-tempo ballads, and yeah, there's a wealth of material.
I mean, you can even take an old Hank Jr. or a Hank Williams Sr. song. I even do that in my shows and just put a different twist to it. And you know, not taking it way out of context or anything, and making it sound, you know, just give it a little bit more of an updated sound, and without even hurting it.
Oh yeah.
And you know, there's just so many things that you could do to a country song and still be good.
Oh, but for sure, yeah.
You know, I just never understood that. But, you know, I do like Kentucky Headhunters. I was a big fan of Hank Jr., and, you know, he had a little bit of a wild side to him. He had a little bit of an edge to him. But it basically stayed country.
Yep, for sure.
And, you know, I can respect what Gretchen Wilson's doing. I mean, you know, she's got a sort of the Hank Williams mentality to her music.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It's real redneck, honest. It's not pop, that's for sure. So, which is
what really blows my mind. It's the puffy pop songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, you know, you got your light rock stations for that. You know, we don't really need that in country music, but apparently radio thinks we do. So.
Exactly. Now, that's a good point. Now, of all the artists out there, Rick, contemporary or maybe one who isn't on the charts at the moment, is there an artist out there that you would love for your next project to record a duet with? It could be a male artist or a female artist.
Well, I mean, I really enjoy Rhonda Vincent's music, bluegrass. But as far as, Jackie Velasquez from the Christian side of things, if I had more of a pop voice, you know, to cross in, I mean, I'd love to do a duet with her. I think she's got a wonderful voice, and I'm a big fan of Jackie Velasquez. So,
and so you might entertain doing a gospel song on your next CD?
The current one, Hold On to Faith, is sort of has a religious tone to it.
Right.
And I just really don't have I don't think my style and my voice would allow me to venture that far out of my realm of things and to do something like that. But I mean, you know, I was just giving an example. Jackie Velasquez would be somebody I would consider. I mean, Linda Ronstadt has always been, I think she's the premier female vocalist, because I mean, I've heard her do so many different types of songs. I mean, she can do opera, country, pop, rock, you know, you name it, the girl can sing it.
Yeah. Got a beautiful voice, very crystal clear. And just lovely to listen to.
Yeah, and I was always a big fan of Linda Ronstadt. In fact, her lead guitar player who played for Linda for, 15 years, Dan Dugmore, he was the one who did the steel parts on my CD.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I was super thrilled to meet him. And it's like, I told him, I said, I am a big fan of Linda Ronstadt. I said, I've heard a lot of rumors and a lot of stories about her. I said, I don't want to hear any rumors or stories. Don't ruin my fantasy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we can find out too much about an artist that we like, and it's sometimes nice to just keep looking up to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We get images of them, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah, I've heard other artists say something like that, and I can't remember who the artist was, but they said, you know, once they met him, because they held him, you know, such a high standard in their career and everything, and once they met him, they weren't everything that they thought they were going to be.
That's right.
And they were disappointed. And it's like, so I didn't want to hear any stupid stories or anything.
Very cool. Now, Rick, we've got a few moments left, so I wanted to ask, I'd like to ask all the artists I have on the show, any advice they have for up-and-comers who are thinking about getting into the music business or maybe have started on that path. A couple of bits of advice you could pass their way.
Well, make sure you got a plan. I mean, I've met too many people come down to Nashville without a plan. And, you know, first of all, you know, coming down here without a job, without any I met this one girl, she was living in her car, and it's like I go, this isn't the 40s, you know, they don't do that no more. You know, they're not, you can't come down here and just walk into somebody's office and see somebody. You know, all the doors are locked, and that's why they're locked. You can't get in. You can't get past the receptionist. You know, you can't just walk into somebody's office and lay down a CD.
right.
and say, "Hey, listen to my stuff." They're not just not going to do it. I mean, there's just too much for them to lose. And if they, I understand. I mean, gosh, they would have 100 people at their door every day if they did.
Yeah.
And they would never get any work done. So, yeah, just make sure you have a plan. Make sure that, you know, other people are hearing your stuff besides your family, because your family's always going to support you no matter how good or bad you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be not so, you know, the best judgment of your music. And I think, you know, you get to that point to where, you know your stuff is good, and you know your stuff is good enough. And you know, you listen to the radio, and it's like you compare yourself to the radio. As much as I hate listening to the radio, I that's what I did before I moved down here. I was comparing myself, my writing, to what I was hearing on the radio, and it's like I go, I really don't hear, you know, that big of a difference, you know, except the style. But as far as the writing goes, making sure that you don't have too many, you know, that you write with adding too many words in there that don't need to be in there, little things. And
sure.
'Cause those little things do mean a lot when you go and you start pitching your stuff and they're listening to it, because they're used to hearing songs from Jeffrey Steele, Skip Ewing, and stuff like that, you know, that are you know, already right and perfect and stuff like that. And so, you know, and they got so many writers down here now that, quite honestly, they don't need any more. So you got to make sure you got that you're to that point.
Yeah, the bar's set pretty high with all those artists or songwriters you mentioned. So, yeah, you've got to be up to the game.
Yeah, I mean, because there's 1,000 people just trying to take that one spot.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one opening, there's 1,000 people trying to get it. I mean, there's just so many people here, especially in Nashville. I don't know about New York and L.A., which I'm sure is the same way. Just looking for that opportunity, and you just gotta, and it's all about who you know. You got to network, and that's one of the things I was never good with, because I always felt as though that was butt kissing, and I just never. I'm friendly to people, but I just can't schmooze to make myself look good.
You want your music to do the talking.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it should be. And I was just in somebody's office the other day, and they said, I told them, I said, hey, I wouldn't mind, what does it take to become a writer at your place here? And they said, you need to go through NSAI. Is that it? Or is it NASI?
NSAI, yep, Nashville Songwriters Association International.
And I told him, I said, well, I was a part of that long time ago. And I says, it helped me a little bit. But I said, but it didn't really help me a lot. I says, I mostly learned writing from on my own. And they said, well, you know, we feel as though everybody needs to go through that organization. And then they're referred to us from them. And I go, I just laughed at him and just said, well, if that's the route I got to take, I'll just keep you know, being on my own. You know, I'm having fun this way. And
awesome,
Rick. I just don't believe in having that organization, you know, represent me. And when I don't know. I'm sure some people do need it, but it's just I've been through them, and I didn't really gain a whole lot by being a part of the organization. And I'm not putting the organization down any. At all, it's just something that I just didn't feel was something that was a, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but
I want to thank you for being on the show, Rick, and don't mean to cut you off there, but it's been a pleasure. 45 minutes has flown by, and I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'll invite our listeners to check out Rick Ryman, RYMAN.com, as well as on MySpace. Thanks so much, Rick.
Well, thank you, Dave. I really do appreciate it. And you get me on the subject, and I just ramble on.
Get nothing but the truth, which is great. Our listeners love that, and I really enjoyed it, Rick.
I appreciate it, Dave.
Great. We'll talk to you soon. My guest today has been Tennessee singer-songwriter Rick Ryman. You can check out his CD, Leg Man. Check that out on cdbaby.com. I'm Dave Woods, and The Country is an Artist Insights exclusive production.
Time in the country.
We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting.